When Chris and Lacey Buchanan's son, Christian, was born with no eyes, what followed was stressful for both mom and dad, and ultimately put a strain on their marriage, a strain that had them contemplating throwing in the towel.
The biggest thing that I feel like I forgot sometimes in the midst of those moments when we were facing divorce is how much bigger God was than my problems. I always felt like in those moments, God cannot possibly fix this mess. Like, our mess was so much bigger than God, right? And how silly is that? And when I was finally able to step back, I could realize God is so much bigger than any mess I make, and He loves me enough to help me through it. And so I feel like a lot of times people look at their marriage and they think there's no way that this can ever be fixed. It's too far gone. It's, you know, God is bigger. He's so much bigger.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. Lacey Buchanan joins us today to share about how God ultimately did a turnaround in her marriage after the birth of her son, Christian. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. All of us have moments in life where we get on a path that we hadn't anticipated, one we wouldn't have picked for ourselves, but it seems like it's a part of God's design in our lives to put us on a few of those paths and to say, trust me, I'll get you through this.
You know, I'm thinking as you say that, Bob, we just earlier this year celebrated my granddaughter Molly's 10th birthday. Hmm. For those listeners who haven't had a chance to hear that story, Molly was born to our daughter Rebecca and her husband Jake, and only lived 7 days. On our gravestone is a statement we found on a gravestone in England some 12 months before Molly was even born. But here's what it said, just to what Bob's talking about. It says, "We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but all is well that's done by thee." We can't always see the purposes. We don't know what God's up to. But Bob, as you just said, as you go through life and after you've lived a few decades of life, you realize that you're going to go through some seasons of suffering, some serious trials. Mm-hmm. And we have a guest with us today who's had, I don't want to say your fair share. You may have made up for some other people here, Lacey, but Lacey Buchanan, who is the author of Through the Eyes of Hope, joins us again on Family Life Today. Welcome back, Lacey.
Thank you.
The subtitle of this book is, and this is just a good—
I love this subtitle.
Just a good subtitle regardless, Love More, Worry Less, and See God in the Midst of Your Adversity.
You've had a chance to put that to practice. You and your husband had been married a couple of years when you found out you were going to have a baby. In the middle of the pregnancy, the doctors told you there was a fetal abnormality. Didn't know what that was, an anomaly, they said. Later, you learned that your son would have a cleft lip and palate. But it wasn't until he was born that you realized that that cleft lip and palate extended all the way up to his eyes. He was born blind. And in fact, the doctors worked in the first few days of his life to kind of figure out what his condition was. Mm-hmm. And it was on day four that the doctor came in and reported to you. What did he say?
My husband was in the room alone with my son, and I had stepped out for just a few moments. So the doctor comes in, I'm told, and doesn't ask where I'm at, doesn't ask for me to come in so he can deliver the news to both of us, and sort of walks in to my husband. It's late at night, 9, 10 p.m. We've watched our son go through surgery, our four-day-old child go through surgery earlier that day. We are mentally, physically, emotionally drained at this point. And he walks into my husband and says, "Your son is blind, sorry," and walks out. By the time I get back to the room, my husband's sitting there sobbing. I check on the baby first. I'm like, has something happened? What's going on? Is everything okay? And, you know, Christian's fine. And that's when my husband tells me what had happened. And my first thought is he couldn't even wait until I was back in the room so that we could be together, so that he didn't have to, you know, my husband had to sort of take the brunt of that alone by himself.
You think the doctor was just so overwhelmed with trying to, you know, doctors want to, they want to fix things too. Mm-hmm. They want the best possible outcome. I just wonder if this doctor was just so overtaken by the fact that he couldn't do anything to fix this for you.
I can only speculate exactly, you know, why that happened the way that it did and what was going through his head, you know.
But it left you guys reeling.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was just like he had dropped a bomb and ran, and we were there left to deal with the devastation that it left behind.
Your son was, while in the womb, his face was actually growing into the placenta.
There were parts of the placenta that had sort of broken down and attached to his face. Mm-hmm.
So he was born with no eyeballs.
Right.
And this cleft palate, as we're talking about here, and you're facing the realities of tons of surgeries. Like like right now, he's 6 years old. Mm-hmm. How many surgeries has he had?
He's had seven so far.
Going all the way back to that point then. What were you thinking as your husband was sobbing and was saying he's blind? Mm-hmm. You had seen his face. Mm-hmm. That had to have dawned on you as well. Mm-hmm. How did you process that?
It was pretty much just devastation at first. We sort of knew by looking at him that he was blind, but it was one of those things like we were just holding out till the doctors could tell us something, could confirm something for us. And so that news, and I think also delivered so callously to us, we were immediately overwhelmed with this four-day-old baby, and here's the rest of his life we're having to contend with immediately there in that hospital room. You know, his whole life was in front of us, and we're thinking, what are we going to do? How do we raise a child who's blind? How do we raise a child with these medical needs? What is Christian's quality of life going to be like? Because, of course, we wanted a good quality of life for this child, and I feel like the news of his blindness being delivered so callously, it almost felt like as if the doctor was speaking to his quality of life as well. And so we took that to heart at first. We were so young, first-time parents, you know, just there was no manual on parenting for us to read ahead of time. And so we were devastated to know that Christian's condition was this serious, that this is what he was facing, and that we had no idea what we were going to do about it.
Usually when a person or a couple face circumstances like this, there has to be a time as you process through the realities of this and think on down the road where you become angry.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get angry? And
oh, absolutely.
How long did it take you to begin to express that?
Yeah, I was angry. Yeah, there was a time of anger. And I think it built up and peaked right about when Christian was 4 months old. You know, we had been going to the hospital. He was in the NICU for about a month, and it was a really hard NICU stay. He had surgery while he was there. Pain management was just off while we were there. And so I was watching him just, you know, suffer a lot. And that was hard. And then I was trying to work a full-time job. My husband was working a full-time job. I was going to law school still in the evenings. I didn't get a break because I had a baby. And then here I am trying to get my child to the specialist. He had 3 to 6 appointments a week, an hour away from our home. And I'm trying to balance all of this. I mean, I was so overwhelmed. I felt like I was drowning. And so when he was 3 months old, he had a second surgery. I was totally mentally unprepared for it. So when he had that surgery, it was the hardest surgery he's ever had. And I sat in that hospital room and I listened to his monitors beep. And I was waiting for his heart to stop beating after this surgery. It was that bad. I sat there and I just remember the beeping in my head. Just every beep meant a heartbeat. And I'm sitting here waiting for it to stop, and I'm talking to God, and I'm like, God, I can't do this for the rest of my life. I love this child, and I want to do whatever I have to do for him. We can't keep going through this. And, you know, Christian was facing multiple more surgeries, and I thought, how are we ever going to get through this? You know, and I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? Why are you putting us through this? You know, like, I'd been going to church my whole life. I was leading praise and worship. I was teaching Sunday school classes. You know, we were doing it right. And this innocent child, you know, what has he done? And I was so angry at God.
Did you share that anger with Chris? Or was this more of a private shaking your fist?
You know, I shared some of it with Chris. I probably, more than telling Chris how angry I was at God, I was probably lashing out at him as well, you know, taking my frustrations out on him as well. So he knew I was angry, for sure. You know, we were both sort of just in a state of limbo, like, what do we do? Communication wasn't good. What? How do you even communicate during this time? You know, I mean, we were struggling to even breathe some days, it felt like. So talking was just exerting more energy we didn't even have. I mean, he knew. I don't think we ever sat down and talked about it like we should have, honestly. But
did all of this drive a wedge in your marriage relationship?
It did. Yeah, it did for a long time. And we both handled it differently, too. I was the protective mama bear. I mean, I would fight you for my child. You know, I'm going to protect him. And the difficulties that I was having, Chris wasn't at the appointments with me with the doctors because he was having to work. And so I was dealing with these doctors who were, you know, sometimes less than nice. And here I am already emotionally a mess. And so my response to them was to start retaliating.
Whatever it takes to fix my son. You got to do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Yeah, yeah. And stop being mean about it and just do your job, you know. And so that built up to, and I was just, you know, I was ready to fight. If I need to fight you for my child, I will. And Chris sort of dealt with it by just burying his head in his work. I mean, he was working as much as he could. And for him, it was sort of out of sight, out of mind. If I'm not around it, I don't have to deal with it. You know, it's much easier to sort of step back, and he handed it to me. And it was sort of like, you deal with it, and I'm going to go work because I'm still providing for the family and I'm still sort of taking care of my responsibilities over here. And so then I felt abandoned because I'm like, hey, I need you to step up. I need you, you know, I need your help. I'm drowning here. And, you know, and then in his own way, he's over here drowning as well. And he's thinking, I can't help you. I can't help myself, you know.
So how did you guys recognize that this was going on and get to a point where you could look at each other and say, look, we got to get on the same page. We got to support each other. How did that process work for you?
It took years, honestly. It wasn't like an easy, quick fix. I feel like a lot of times it's expected that like, oh, you can just pray a couple times and God's going to fix your marriage. And God didn't fix our marriage. I think he fixed us.
Yeah.
And is still fixing. Not fixed as in he's done.
Right.
He is so not done with us. But, but yeah, I mean, it took years of us sort of realizing our own responsibility in damaging our marriage. And then, you know, I mean, we had to step up and, I mean, and it was hard to take responsibility and say, I've really screwed up right here, you know, and I want to reconcile it. And just sort of learning to put ourselves aside, you know, I mean, it was sort of selfish on me to expect so much of Chris, and it was sort of selfish on him to sort of run. And, you know, we had to own up and fess up to our own selfishness and realize that we've got to sort of die to ourselves a little bit more here if we're going to get this right.
That's an ongoing process, too.
It never stops.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I want to make two points here. Number one, men and women process suffering like this differently.
Yeah.
And different isn't wrong.
Right.
It's just different.
Right.
And you've got to respect the way the other person is dealing with it. You carried this little boy in your womb for 9 months. And here's Chris off to the side. He didn't have those conversations
right.
with his son like you did
right.
late at night when you said he was doing tumbling acts
yep.
in your tummy. A second thing that I want to point out that you're really demonstrating here, a lot of marriages don't make it. It's something like 60% of all marriages where there is the death of a child or the birth of a child with major handicap issues don't last 5 years.
Right.
And you understand uniquely why that's the case. But your covenant, your commitment to each other superseded even your trials at this point. It was your foundation and your trust in God to be able to make it through this as a couple. Did either one of you ever toss the D word out?
Oh, absolutely. And when you said our covenant to each other, I would even go so far as to say there were times when that didn't even matter to us. It was really more about our commitment to God. And sometimes that was what we held on to because we were so done with each other that we were ready to throw that covenant out. I mean, we were facing divorce at one point. You know, I mean, I was at a point where if somebody said, what's going on? I said, well, we're probably getting divorced here in the next few months. You know, I mean, we came that close. But, you know, it was more about our commitment to God. And so we had to step back. What does God want? And were we going down the path God wanted us to go? Well, we could both honestly say no. You know, so is this the right direction? Well, obviously, no.
Lacey, there's undoubtedly a mom or a dad listening right now who are in the middle of whatever crisis they're facing, and they're at odds with one another, mm-hmm. and they've talked about, thought about, wondered about divorce. What would you say to them in the midst of that?
Ooh, that's heavy.
You've been there.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I feel like I forgot sometimes in the midst of those moments when we were facing divorce is how much bigger God was than my problems. Hmm. I always felt like in those moments, God cannot possibly fix this mess. Like, our mess was so much bigger than God, right? And how silly is that? And I made God small and put him inside of this box, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not really God. That was what I was picturing. And when I was finally able to step back and just look at the big picture, I could realize God is so much bigger than any mess I make, and he loves me enough to help me through it. Not that he's just going to snap his fingers and fix it, but he will help me through it. And so I feel like a lot of times people look at their marriage and they think there's no way that this can ever be fixed. It's too far gone. God is bigger. He's so much bigger.
There's a byline on your book we talked about earlier, love more, worry less, and see God in the midst of your adversity. That's what you're saying, is remember who God is
yeah.
in the midst of the storm.
Right.
Don't believe the wrong thing about him. In the midst of all this, you know, your marriage is going through its struggles. Christian is having these surgeries. Mm-hmm. God spoke to you, and this got me, I have to tell you, as a daddy, God spoke to you about not hiding your son's face.
Yeah.
Share with our listeners what took place there, and maybe even a little bit of a context.
Sure.
For why you would be hiding your
sure.
son's face.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wasn't hiding Christian out of like embarrassment or shame. I loved this child. I thought he was beautiful. But the thing was, not everybody agreed with me. And that became blatantly apparent when we went out in public. We would get some of the worst stares. People would whisper behind my back when they thought I couldn't hear them. I mean, and then we had people who would come up to us, too, you know, with all this, what's wrong with your baby? Why does he look like that? What's that on his face? You know.
And some would even say, why didn't you have an abortion?
Those people weren't to my face, thankfully. Those were usually through social media, but we did get those as well. I couldn't even post a picture on social media of my child without garnering things like that. We heard that and worse. You know, why didn't you abort that? So, you know, my first instinct was Christian cannot hear these things about himself. I won't allow it. And so if what I got to do is hide him, protect him, that's what I'll do. And so
Mama Bear was coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah. And so I put a blanket over his car seat anytime we were out in public, you know, and that way nobody could really see what was under the little blanket there, and I could get my groceries and I could go do my thing and nobody bothered me. And it was unreal how many people would come up and say, do you mind if I take a peek under that blanket? And I'd be like, yes, I mind. And they would kind of be like, what? You know, I'm like, well, he's sleeping. You know, I was just trying to shoo them away. And they'd be like, oh, well, I won't wake him up. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, let me get my groceries and go on. And it happened so many times. I mean, it wasn't once or twice. It was dozens upon dozens of times. Strangers would approach me and be like, do you mind if I like take a peek at your baby, look at your baby? I was like, God, what are you trying to tell me here? You know, and it got to the point where I was like, I'm not supposed to hide this baby. Like, he's meant to be seen.
Hmm.
So little did I know what that would turn into down the road as he got older with the book and social media and things like that. But I mean, it was as if God himself had spoke to me and said, don't hide him. You know, he has a message to share.
I said, it got me emotionally to hear that story. Looking at his picture, I thought, Christian is an image bearer.
Yeah.
He bears the image of Almighty God.
Yes, he does.
In fact, in some ways, he proclaims more about God. Even though he's less than perfect on the outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He declares something about God that, frankly, many of us would never imagine.
Right.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And you've actually had people write you and tell you, thank you for being an inspiration,
mm-hmm.
for loving your son.
Yeah.
300,000 people on your Facebook page?
Yeah, over that. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's interesting how God takes something like this. And there are so many messages
mm-hmm.
for different people in different walks of life. And your life intersects with them. The the YouTube video that I watched that's 7.5 minutes long.
Yep.
How many people have seen that?
Millions. I couldn't even. We've lost count. Millions upon millions.
We've got a link to it. If folks haven't seen it, they can go to familylifetoday.com and see you telling the story with Christian there on your lap. I have to wonder, after Christian was born, when you went back and read Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, how did you process that verse?
At first, I was kind of like, God, I don't understand your plan here. I don't understand what's going on, why you're letting things unfold this way. But if Christian is fearfully and wonderfully made, why are we going through this? Why are we dealing with these things? Why is this painful? Why can we just not have this pain, you know? But looking back and seeing how things have played out and sort of seeing God's plan unfolding, it just makes perfect sense to me now. And it's more beautiful, I think, than if it had played out the way I wanted it to. I really get to see the meaning of fearfully and wonderfully made, I think, through Christian, because Christian doesn't look perfect by our societal standards. And there are negative comments that we hear about his appearance, but there's no caveat in that verse that says, you know, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made so long as we have eyes. Yeah.
Or except for a few.
Except for kids who are born like this. Or, you know, it really has, I mean, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So I'm getting to see it just play out, and it's beautiful.
You're reminding me of a psalm, Psalm 8, that I wrote my granddaughter Molly's name in because she lived 7 days. And I wrote this on June 21st, 2008. It says, "You have set your glory above the heavens, O God. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger." Your son is a living message.
He is.
He is a living message of the grandeur of God. This psalm starts with this. It says, "O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Christian is a living messenger to a time more than likely you will not see.
Yeah.
He is still going to be proclaiming who God is in his unique way. And Lacey, I just want to thank you and Chris for, in the midst of it, not quitting on your marriage, not quitting on your love for your little boy, ending up having another little boy as well, Chandler. So I just thank you that you've been faithful.
Oh, thank you.
You've been faithful to what God called you to do, and you've believed the right thing about God, and you haven't quit.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think there are going to be a lot of people who are going to want to read more of your story in the book you've written called Through the Eyes of Hope. I love the subtitle, Love More, Worry Less, and See God in the Midst of Your Adversity. We've got copies of Lacey's book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. You can also order by calling 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, our hope as we gather for these programs every day is that when we're all done, each day's program will provide practical, biblical help and hope for your marriage, for your family, for what you're going through in life. It's always been encouraging to me to run into listeners who say, "Here was my circumstance, and I turned on the radio, and at that exact time you guys were talking about stuff that was right what I was going through. God used it in my life, and I want to say thank you." And, of course, we're just grateful to God for the opportunity that we have to effectively develop godly marriages and families. That's our mission here at Family Life. And I know a number of you believe in that mission because you partner with us so that the Ministry of Family Life Today, this program that is heard on radio, on the internet, in a variety of different outlets and channels, you make it possible when you make a donation. You're actually making it possible for young couples to benefit from this program, for struggling moms or for single parents to tune in and get the help and hope they need. We're grateful to those of you who are monthly legacy partners. Your monthly investment provides a stable financial foundation on which this ministry can operate. And those of you who donate from time to time, we're grateful to you as well. If you're a regular listener and you've never made a donation, it's easy to do. Go to familylifetoday.com and donate online, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. Again, the website's familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-358-6329. Now, tomorrow we want to talk about what Jesus meant when he said, "Take my yoke upon you, and I'll give you rest." What is the yoke we're supposed to take on? That's something that Hannah Anderson, who's a mom with young kids, found herself wrestling with during a time when she was feeling overwhelmed. And God's word really spoke to her. She'll share what she learned about the yoke of Jesus on tomorrow's program. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.